Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
I love my neighbor, and I pray for him.
Sometimes people don't say the right thing. But they
you know, there is some risk with it, but I think it's risk worth taking.
Began to bang on the flight deck officer's door.
Mike, I felt this thrill going up my leg.
Winning!
World famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and where we go through the looking glass and beyond to take you places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't, they shan't, they won't, they can't. Anyway, welcome to the program. Tonight we will have with us General Galen Shaw. He's going to be joining us, the retired United States Army General, on the reward money, the Bin Laden reward money. Where should it go? There's a few U.S. lawmakers, New York lawmakers, who feel that the money should go to, because there has been no reward claimed, and there is no really reward money going to anyone in particular as far as the people that dish out reward money are concerned. The feeling is it should go to the victims of 9/11. General Shaw will weigh in with his opinion on that. We also have Don Mixa later on tonight. Representative Aaron Schlock. Is that how you pronounce this guy's name? Schlock, seriously?
Yeah, I think so. Schlock.
Schock, sorry. Why would it be? All right, could be. Anyway, Aaron Schock shows off his abs on the cover of Men's Health magazine. Was this a smart move? Will it alienate his conservative base? Is it insulting to Democrats? We'll find out tonight on the Phil Hendry Show with Don Mixa later on. 877-876-PHIL is our number. Our affiliate spotlight tonight on KFMB 760 AM in San Diego. Heritage Signal in San Diego, we're very proud to be on that radio station, and KFNA 96.1 FM in Abilene, Texas. The New York lawmakers want Bin Laden bounty to go to the victims. We're going to talk this evening with General Galen Shaw about this. The story here, General, that I'm looking at has to do with aides to the New York Democratic Congressman Anthony Weiner and Jerry Nadler, telling NBC News that Weiner intends to introduce legislation later this week that would reallocate the bounty for Osama bin Laden to help 9/11 first responders and their families. Give us your feelings on that.
Well, Phil, the very first feeling that one would have, and I don't think I'm alone when I say this, this bounty was allocated to go to any individual that had a hand in locating Osama bin Laden and helped with information that would lead to the location of Osama bin Laden and of his eventual either apprehension or his killing. Unfortunately, we have not had an individual who qualifies to claim that money. And because it is reward money, I would have a problem with this going necessarily to the victims' families.
You're saying that because it is reward money, it's not designated as anything else?
Well, yes, exactly. Because it is reward money, it cannot, in my opinion, morally, I don't think you can give it to 9/11 families or the first responders, because they didn't do anything to apprehend or otherwise get Osama bin Laden, which is not to say they did anything wrong. It's just to say that they don't qualify for that money.
And all right, well, then what do you do with the money? If there's nobody who qualifies as to, for instance, the reward money for locating us, so what you wouldn't consider, I guess the government wouldn't consider, spreading that money out around to CIA and FBI?
No, you don't do that, because that's their job. The CIA's job, the FBI's job, the individuals involved, whether it's Defense Intelligence Agency, and certainly, if you wanted to be specific, the Pakistani intelligence and the intelligence agencies of other countries, you'd be in quite a fix trying to figure out how you're going to get money to all of them. And so I don't think you can do that either. I think the best thing to do with this money is to look across the country at the Muslim community. And I'll tell you why. The Muslim community of all the people in this country were not only, I think, victimized by the attacks on 9/11, but also it could be said that they enabled, probably more than anyone, the authorities to capture or to at least kill Osama bin Laden because of their existence and their presence in this country focused us on the Muslim community, the differences in the Muslim community, and the fact that there are good and there are bad. And
well, all right. So specifically, General, what are you saying?
Well, specifically, I'm saying an idea would be to take this reward money and spread it to give it to different projects in the Muslim communities. There are mosques. There are youth centers.
Give it to the Muslim community in the United States?
In the United States. And that would, I think, first of all, you're talking about American Muslims, and so we're not talking about the jihadists. We're talking about normal.
All right, and I agree with you. Normal people who are Americans who happen to be Muslims. But what has that got to do with Osama bin Laden?
Well, what did the first responders have to do? Osama bin Laden, and let me just say, no one has more regard or respect for the first responders than I do. No one in this world respects what they did or has more sympathy for what the 9/11 families went through. But you have to understand, they did not do anything to catch Osama bin Laden.
But the Muslim community in this country didn't, quote-unquote, do anything to catch Osama bin Laden either. So why would they be entitled to this, in your opinion, General? And I realize it's just one man's opinion.
Well, my opinion is shared by a great many people.
All right, well, with all due respect, sir, I hope not that many, because I it doesn't make any sense to me that you take this reward money, $25 million approved by the State Department in 2001. Congress voted to increase the amount to $50 million, but the state never officially supported the increase. It's not going to be handed out to anybody. And you're suggesting this go to the Muslim community in America because of their mere existence, focusing our efforts on Osama bin Laden.
Yes, I think so, Phil, because we learned a great deal about the Islamic faith from our Muslim American friends. We recognized the difference between good and bad. They helped us focus our attention on the capture of Osama bin Laden and on these jihadists who obviously are not representative of the Muslim community. And the other thing I think that it would do is it would go a long way toward ensuring that we don't get any of this kind of homegrown thing. If we have an area in this country where there may be the threat or the danger of homegrown jihadists or terrorists, certainly money could be contributed to that part of the country in terms of youth centers and re-education and so forth, jobs, so that we can convince them. And it might take a lot of money, it might not take that much, that it's better to support the country than to go out and support these terrorists. And
so you're talking about giving this money to people who may be young people?
I say that again, Bill?
You're talking about giving this money to young people who may want to become jihadists, and if you give this money to them, then they won't.
Well, you're giving it to parts of the community where these young jihadists, these young American Muslims, like this one that was from Orange County here in California, and a couple of others that may want to travel to Afghanistan or travel to these parts of the world and become jihadists, say, well, here is a job training program or so forth, or here is some money for you to, it could be something as simple as a car club.
See, we're going to give money to the community, the Muslim community, so that the kids won't go out and become jihadists. This sounds to me like some just another kind of a program that doesn't take the place of family, it doesn't take the place of upbringing, it doesn't take the place of anything that leads someone to a respectable life.
I don't understand what you're saying. All I'm saying is I'm trying to keep these people going to Afghanistan and becoming terrorists.
So you're going to give them the $25 million and not give the reward money to the first responders or the 9/11 families, because why?
Because they did not do anything. You have to understand, Phil, if you're going to give reward money to people for capturing Osama bin Laden, they've got to, what did they do?
But don't you understand that on some level, General, this is a tasteless and offensive move? That there's going to be the families themselves, if they don't get the money, all right, and they may understand that. And then you turn around and you lay this on some Muslim groups around the country as a way of saying, here's some bread, don't become a jihadist.
Well, what are you going to do if you have the... I'm saying we need to attack the problem.
Well, the problem was never in America. The problem was something coming from Saudi Arabia. The problem was something coming from the Middle East. It was never an American problem.
I understand that. And what we, but however, there were homegrown jihadists here in America who were traveling abroad. The group in Oregon, there was another group in Pennsylvania. There have been individuals here and there. And no one has done anything to address that problem. You understand? So
give the money that was going to go to either the person that captured Osama bin Laden or the 9/11 families, the first responders, and give it to the Muslim communities so that the kids don't go overseas and become terrorists.
Well, you put it in a rather simplistic way, and I think there's a lot more to say about it.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445 here on the Phil Henry Show. General Galen Shaw, as we're discussing what should be done with this reward money. Now, you're talking about an olive branch to young Muslims, correct?
That is exactly correct. And the olive branch program that I'm talking about would take the $25 to $50 million. It would separate and spread it around to at least 7 or 8 different agencies here in the United States that are Muslim agencies. The money would go directly to Muslim youth, you understand?
And Muslim American youth?
Muslim youth in this country.
And all right, are they Americans?
Well, I would think so if they're in this country.
Well, you didn't specify, so I don't know whether it's, you know, if they're citizens or...
Well, they're American Muslims, and the money would go to them and to their youth programs, and it would go toward the education and show them the benefits of staying in the United States and living within our society as opposed to going to Afghanistan or Pakistan and learning bomb-making and so on and eventually becoming a suicide bomber. And
are you telling me we need money to convince a kid to stay in the United States and to partake of all the things that this country has to offer, as opposed to going to Afghanistan and becoming a suicide bomber, that we need money?
You're talking about a community of individuals, religious individuals, that are quite motivated in much the same way that many religious institutions will be motivated. You look at the Christians. Look at the right wing or the very extreme Christians that will go out and blow themselves to bits. And look at Timothy McVeigh. He was a suicide bomber. And
no, he was not a suicide bomber. Timothy McVeigh did not commit suicide.
I'm sorry, but he did. He did blow that building half to hell and back. And of course, paid the price.
Yeah, he paid the price, but he was not a suicide. Are you telling me that we could have used some of that money, and I'm not saying that there was any available, to go to these Christian enclaves, these far-right Christian enclaves, and educate the kids, don't blow up the post office or the federal building or whatever?
No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that in this instance, it might have helped back then, yes. If David Koresh, for instance, someone had sat down with him and told him the benefits of being an American citizen and working within the system, as opposed to going down to Waco, Texas, and building something made out of, for God's sake, Phil, it was made out of plywood and hay, and it was almost as if when he built that thing, he wanted it to burn to the ground.
And all right, well, you know, David Koresh, in my mind, was a guy who had all kinds of mental problems, and the same thing going with Timothy McVeigh. But, you know, we can talk about this from this standpoint, in my opinion. If you don't think the money should go to the first responders and the 9/11 families, which I think is a perfect place to send that money, that's one thing. But you say you want to turn around and give it to the Muslim community in this country to educate young people not to become jihadist. It sounds to me like you're throwing the money away. I don't think there's a problem there. And if there is, I don't think you're going to get rid of it with money.
We've got to give. There's no question. Some of that money must go to the Muslim community to just make amends for what's been done to them, and the jokes and the insult and the
well. All right, 877. I don't see what amends has to be made. 877-876-7445. General Galen Shaw says the Osama bin Laden reward money shouldn't go to the 9/11 families. They didn't do anything to capture Osama bin Laden. It should go to the Muslim community. Of course, they didn't do anything to capture him either. So what do you make of this ideal? Your call's at 877-876-7445. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
And welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. What we have is General Galen Shaw. General Shaw is a retired United States Army general. We're talking about this reward money. You and I were just discussing the 9/11 families. Now, we have, and I'd like to play a little bit of this audio, if I could here, General, a couple of pieces of audio, one of them from Jake Carney, who is the press secretary for President Obama. We also have Anthony Weiner and Jerry Nadler from New York. But let's listen to what they have to say about this concept. Yesterday, Jay Carney said there are no plans to dole out any of this reward money.
As far as I'm aware, no one knowledgeably said, oh, Osama bin Laden's over here in Abbottabad at 5703, Green Avenue. And so I don't think, my sense is that the requirement for any kind of reward is to say that, not to accidentally, through intelligence gathering, provide information that leads to the whereabouts of somebody like that.
Here's Representative Anthony Weiner and Representative Jerry Nadler. They held a joint press conference offering a suggestion on who should receive the reward money.
We would make families, groups, organizations that help deal with the survivors of September 11th, help them benefit.
We stand here with some unmet needs and an opportunity.
All right, General, you say that doesn't make sense.
Well, it doesn't make any sense if the reward money was for those individuals who provided information to the authorities, and in this case it would be the FBI or the CIA, or the intelligence gathering agencies of other countries, to the arrest, the apprehension, or the killing of Osama bin Laden. Now, that was not done. And I feel for the families, but the families did not help capture Osama bin Laden, and Osama bin Laden is the one that made them suffer. The U.S. government didn't. The people that suffered at the hands of the U.S. government would be the Muslim community. And to the extent that it was that they had to read in the newspaper that another Muslim was killed, and graphically describing his eye being blown from his head. And
well, you telling me the Muslim community in this country is going to feel offended or upset or sympathetic that Osama bin Laden was killed?
I don't know. I would imagine yes. I'm not that familiar with their culture, but common sense dictates that wouldn't you, for instance, even if it was the Pope, and the Pope had been responsible for the murder of orphans and elderly women, wouldn't you still be offended if you saw the Pope gunned down?
And no, I would not be offended if I saw the Pope gunned down and I knew he was responsible for the murder of orphans and elderly women. No, I would not.
You would not? Well, I don't think you're being entirely honest as a Roman Catholic, Bill, because there's a knee-jerk reaction to the murder of, not the murder, but the killing of any of your hierarchy.
Our number is 877-876-PHIL. No, that's not true either. Boy, I'll tell you. Let's go to a phone call here tonight. We got Robert in Los Angeles on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, Robert.
Good evening. Thanks for taking my call.
Good evening. Yes, sir.
I would like to respond to the general. First of all, I'm very disappointed that, a general of the U.S. Army would have such a ridiculous proposition for the $50 million. I mean, he's proposing that we should...
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah, he's proposing that we should pay people $50 million not to kill us. We should buy people's love and respect, especially the Muslim people, so they won't kill us. Well, we don't even know the $50 million may even fund for the terrorism.
Well, we understand that, we have inner-city programs for young people to play basketball and this kind of nonsense so they don't go out and deal drugs. I think the same thinking applies. If we can send money to the inner Muslim city or wherever the Muslim poor people live so they don't turn these kids into human bombs.
What? So people are in this great country, and they don't respect being in this country. They don't take advantage of all the wonderful things that this U.S. has to offer. I don't care where they go. Being in the United States is a privilege to be in this country, and has enough benefits not to send your daughter or son to a Muslim country to become a jihadist.
That was my point. That was, isn't it this country as a benefit enough?
I don't know, Bill. I mean, ever since 9/11, we've been making fun of these people. They appear in comedy sketches and jokes. I see a comedy, yes, sir. Sketch on TV. Yes,
General. I'm an immigrant in this country myself. I came here when I was 10 years old. People have made fun of me I'm of Armenian descent. People are made fun. I don't go around blowing buildings up. I go to school. I become educated, and I'll have a good career. That's how you, that's how I pay back the people who make fun of me.
The Turkish people, I bet you're pissed off at them, aren't you?
I'm not pissed off at them. I'm not pissed off at them.
Yeah, all right. Thank you, sir. We've got to take a break. Thank you very much for your call. We'll be back. General Galen Shaw, where that money should go to Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
877-876-PHIL. Call the Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Radio for Patriots, by Patriots, and welcome back to world-famous Phil Henry Show. On the line with me is General Galen Shaw. We're talking about the reward money that is not going to go to anybody. You just heard the audio we played. So it has been proposed by Anthony Weiner and Jerry Nadler in New York to congresspeople, two congressmen, to give it to the 9/11 victims. Now, you're saying, General, that 9/11 victims didn't help apprehend Osama bin Laden, neither did the first responders, but then neither did the Muslims of this country. So I don't understand your point here.
Well,
I don't know. What did you say?
The point that I made was very simply this. The United States, if we owe anything to anyone, it would be the Muslim community for the way that they were portrayed in movies and in the late night Jay Leno's monologues and commercials, the mocking of the Muslims. And so what happened was they became an intimidated community, and I don't think that went very far toward alleviating any pressure. If there were young people who tended to want to become jihadists and they're seeing their religion made fun of in a Seth Rogen movie or something, why, certainly they would want to go to Afghanistan immediately and redress grievances there. So my feeling would be that...
Your feeling is to give it to the Muslim community in the form of monies for mosques and communities and everything like this, because the Muslim people are the ones that have really been harmed here.
Well, the Muslim people were harmed, yes, by the government.
And what about the 9/11 families?
The U.S. government didn't harm them. It was Osama bin Laden that harmed them. I would like to find out where his money is. If they can freeze his assets, of course, if they freeze his assets, then we need to look into that money and pay back the federal government for the amount of money we spent in finding him.
Okay. So when we freeze Osama bin Laden's assets, the guy that hurt the people who were injured in 9/11, still the money wouldn't go to the 9/11 families.
Because yes, you could, but I'm saying, what about me and the other taxpayers? We paid a lot of money to get to find this piece of garbage.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, but it sounds to me, General, like you're going as far as you can out of your way not to give anything of any consequence to people who were harmed on 9/11. Mark in Scottsdale, Arizona. Mark, you're on the Phil Henry Show with General Galen Shaw. Go ahead.
Hey, Phil, appreciate you having me on. You know, I'm going to be honest and say, like most Americans that are probably listening to this program, I can't tell you where you should put the money, because truth be told, I don't know where it's coming from. We're in a tough economic situation, and I haven't done enough research on it. But here's what I can tell you. I own a company that works in the precious metal space, and I spend a significant amount of time in the worst parts of Africa you could imagine. In fact, I just got back from 3 months in Timbuktu. Most Americans don't even realize that's a real place.
Is this story got a point? Does this story have a point, sir?
It does, absolutely.
Okay, why don't you get to it real fast?
I don't think you should be giving this to.
You're making up Timbuktu. Where's Timbuktu? That's a cartoon name.
It's a real place.
It's
a real place. What country is it in?
It's in Mali, which is a country in West Africa. And
I've never heard of it. I've heard of Timbuktu, but it's generally said as a joke.
No, Timbuktu is a very real and extremely dangerous place filled with massive amounts of jihad, and the only reason I didn't mean to get long-winded, the reason I told you all that was so you understand that my opinion to not give the money to the Muslims in America comes from a place of, I've been in situations with French and American military protecting me where we have tried to buy off jihadists. This is not a joke. They don't want our money. It does not persuade a suicide bomber to pay them off.
This would go to American Muslims, though, which is very different. And the Muslim community with enough money wouldn't want to go to Timbuktu or wherever this place is that you were and learn how to blow themselves to bits.
Well, I guess what I'm saying, sir, is that in my opinion, and this is just from, again, my time, which I spent a significant amount of every year for the last 6 years in Africa, the Muslim parts of Africa, is that these people can't be bought off. You're taking something that they have believed for thousands of years.
Sir, I'm not talking about Africans. Is this guy deaf? I'm talking about Americans.
Well, all right. I mean, I think what the gentleman is saying is extremists, jihadists, whether they're American or not, are people that are not going to be bought off, and I understand that. Thank you very much, Mark. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Jim in Hagerstown, I believe that, or is Mayorstown, Pennsylvania. Go ahead, sir.
The guy is talking about jihadists. And I was talking about American jihadists.
Yeah, but he's talking about both kinds of extremists. Is it Jim? Go ahead.
Yeah. What I always say to that general is, why doesn't he give his fat pension to the Muslims, that he, since he wants to help the Muslims so much, and leave that reward money to the first responders? Because, after all, the first responders never told or asked Osama bin Laden to send his people over and put them through those two buildings in New York, the Pentagon, Pennsylvania. We never asked them to go to the guy that catches them. So I think they should be the ones who would get the reward, not your Muslims. Give them your fat pension.
That doesn't make any sense, what you just said, because the money, they didn't catch. Did they catch Osama bin Laden? No.
Well, neither did the Muslim community of America.
The Muslims,
yes, it does.
We didn't ask him. And if it was his reward, reward money for him. Sorry, I'm getting tongue tied.
This is what you said. You got the reward. You're not making any sense. You got to slow down. Here's one of the things that I'm saying. Number one, if you give the money to the Muslim community here, they won't want to go to Afghanistan and redress grievances. Secondly, giving it to the first responders makes no sense at all. They didn't catch Osama bin Laden. And with all due respect, but they are sitting over here.
They didn't catch him, but they didn't ask him to send his planes over here, get those planes and bomb and kill our people, did we?
Well,
we didn't invite him
over here. He didn't send planes over here. He was
educated in our colleges. I mean, he was brought over here by our people and educated. Turns around and just like, you know, like when we fed the Japanese, they turned around and fought us. They bombed.
But are you telling me that Osama bin Laden graduated from Wayne State? That's fine.
What are we
Nobody
supposed
said
to
that,
do? Huh?
Well, I think what we do then...
What do you mean Osama bin Laden graduated from Penn State?
My understanding, just as this gentleman said, he went to American colleges. But the point that I'm making here, Jim, is that while Osama bin Laden didn't send planes here, he used ones that he found here already. That's where you're wrong. Secondly...
Who cares about that? We're talking about whether the reward money should go to the first responders. I agree with Jim. I think the first responders and the families, since we cannot identify an individual that helped to capture or to kill this man.
Then why not give it to the Muslims?
Why not give it to the people that suffered?
Because that's Osama bin Laden's tab. That's on his tab. That's his money that should pay for that.
Okay, where is his money?
The people that were the first responders, the people that their families are left over that were lost in up there in those buildings.
Those are
the people that suffered. Apparently,
what
he never lost anybody. I don't know.
Yes,
my daddy died when I was 7 years old. I suffered my whole life. But, I mean, what those people are going through when they lose somebody.
But you said that he sent planes over here, and he didn't. He came here and got planes that were here already.
Right. But his people came over and flew them. They hijacked them, and they flew them.
All right, I'll give you that.
That's not a big deal.
Did we? Did you invite them over? Did you invite those people over? And sure, we even trained them how to fly the planes.
Well, Penn State gave them a scholarship and
used them to kill our people.
Penn State gave him the scholarship. I didn't.
Penn State didn't give Osama bin Laden a scholarship.
Well, where did he go to school here? He went to one of our schools.
I don't know that he did go to
state. I just say we educated him in our country. We educated him.
That's true. Someone gave him a scholarship, and someone gave him a dorm room, and someone gave him books. And I'd like to find out who that is and let them pay for the first responders.
All right. Jim, thank you very much for your call. Our number is 877-876-7445. I have here General Galen Shaw on the line with me. What difference does it make? You made a couple of nitpicky points.
Well, I do enjoy talking to the people. I'd like to get to another phone call.
All right, that's fine. But I want to... What are you talking about? He didn't send planes over here.
The gentleman said that he sent airplanes here. And I said, no, he...
The gentleman misspoke. It wasn't a big point. And then you say something about him getting a scholarship from Penn State.
Well, he said that Osama bin Laden was educated at the United States. It had been my understanding that he'd received a scholarship from either one of the Ivy League schools, and that he attended.
Well, Penn State's not an Ivy League school.
Well, then, the University of Pennsylvania, then.
I never heard that. Never.
Mr. Henry, you aren't the end-all, be-all of information.
877-876-7445. Nor are you, sir, with the greatest of respect. Here is Nettie on the Phil Henry Show. Nettie, go ahead.
Hello, Phil. Well, just make that comment to you. Yes, I agree with you, Phil, that he is not the end-all and be-all of information. If he is a general, a retired general, he doesn't even know that there's a...
Nor is Mr. Henry.
I feel like the money should go to the victims of 9-1-1. I just recently lost my husband, and nobody knows what it's like to lose a family member. And let's have some consideration for Americans first. I would like to have the slogans, Americans first, for a while.
What about American Muslims? That's what I'm saying. I'm not disagreeing.
I'm saying let's not hyphenate things, sir. Thank you very much. Goodbye.
The Muslim community, I think, is entitled to this money, given all of the harassment and the jokes and all of this.
Well, you're talking about jokes and harassment, and there was enough of that stuff to go around for a lot of people over the number of years that that have transpired since 9/11. And I don't know why. What else?
What else?
What else when it comes to the Muslim community? I mean, they sat there and they had to take jokes from Jay Leno.
I'm telling you, the ridicule that was put on the Muslim people of this country during those years since 9/11 was of such, I think, demeaning import. That at least some of the money, when you have people making bedsheet jokes, and you go out every day with your head wrapped in a long towel of I don't know what it is, Phil,
a towel. See, so that you revert back to your army training, and
I didn't say that in a demeaning way. I was looking for the word.
And you're looking for the word, and you go out every day with a towel on your head. You, sir, are just as jingoistic as anybody else, but you're trying to come across as a little more liberal, because I know you are mounting an exploratory committee for United States Senate from California, aren't you?
You know, I've talked to a lot of reporters, Phil, over the last 6 months, but you are, you're the dumbest of all of them. And
is it not true that you're mounting an exploratory committee to run for Senate from the state of California?
If I am, yes. And I think that this state needs desperately representation of the United States Senate. And I don't want to throw my money away.
You want to give money to the Muslims of America, the Muslim Americans, instead of the 9/11 families. And that's a big departure from Boxer and Feinstein. How?
Because I'm a United States retired military man. And so when I open my mouth, what comes out of it means something.
877-876-7445. Here is Jeff in Mississippi on the Phil Henry Show. Jeff, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm flabbergasted. I've been listening to all this. I've been listening to this United States retired general speak, and I think you're a couple of sandwiches short of a picnic, pal. You want to give the money? You want to give the money to Muslims? What did the Muslims do in America to help us find Osama?
Well, what did the first responders do? Nothing. Nothing. Exactly.
What did the Muslims do?
Nothing.
Here? Hey, are you a Muslim?
And what did the families do? Nothing.
Are you a Muslim? And,
well, they're the ones that got attacked.
Are you a Muslim?
I'm a Muslim. It's more likely that you're a Muslim than me.
Are you a Muslim?
No, I'm not. No. Are you?
No, I'm not. I'm not. I think if the money should go to anybody, it should be Americans. Osama brought all this on.
There are Muslim Americans. And you're saying that there are no Muslim Americans? Are you saying there's no Muslim Americans?
No, I'm not saying that. But if you want to get right down to it, the money should go to whoever gave the information led to the capture of Osama bin Laden. So if that's true, then the money ought to go to the guy that's in prison right now who gave the information. Right?
That guy is not going to get the money. They're not
that's right, he's
to
not.
Him, and they're not giving it
that's
to the
right.
CIA, and they're not giving it to those guys. So,
that's,
at least
that's right.
Where does the money go? And I don't
the
think it makes any sense giving it to
the money should
people
go to the people who suffered because of the acts of Osama bin Laden.
Well,
that's who it should go to.
Osama bin Laden should pay for that.
There you go again with this Osama bin Laden shit. We don't know where his money is.
Hey, let me ask you something. Let me ask you something.
Yeah, go ahead, okay.
General, let me ask you something.
Yep. Yes, sir.
You know, who suffered the most out of all of this? Who suffered the most out of all of this?
Well, right now, I used to think it was right now I feel like I'm suffering the most.
You're ridiculous.
What's that supposed to mean?
Who suffered the most?
Right now, I feel like I'm suffering the most because I've got to listen to this guy talk.
Why don't you have a little bit of respect? You're not making any sense either, General.
All right, who suffered the most? The United States military. The United States military and their families, because we lost a lot of military, too.
And what started
all
that? All
right, let's give it to the military.
No way.
Yeah, give it to the military.
No way. They're going to get lazy.
Let me ask you a question. What kind of guarantee do you have if you were to give the money to these American Muslims? What kind of guarantee do you have that they would not take that money and run?
And what?
You don't. You don't have any guarantee.
I didn't hear what you said. Your phone crapped out. And do what?
I said, what kind of guarantee do you have that if you gave the Muslims this money, what kind of guarantee do you have that they wouldn't take the money and run straight over to Afghanistan or Pakistan?
Okay,
or
that's a very good point.
What
guarantee have you got that the families wouldn't take that money and tie a bomb to themselves and go over and do what they're going to do?
Are you crazy or something?
I don't know.
I think this is a hoax. I think this is a joke.
No kidding. Who's going
to
take you serious?
An American general would side with the Muslims and not the Americans.
How are you?
I'm not siding with Americans.
And you think your people are going to take you serious running for Senate?
This guy may not because he doesn't understand the problems we've got. And he wants to think that a 9/11 family, that it's not very likely that they would take that money, invest in bombs, tie them to themselves, and try to find the closest Muslim they can find and blow them up.
That's about as asinine a thing as I ever heard in my life.
That is ridiculous.
Oh, boy.
That's ridiculous.
Oh, boy. Well, you guys don't know anything about politics.
Now, neither do you. Anyway, thank you very much for your call, sir. 877-876-PHIL, a world-famous Phil Henry Show with General Galen Shaw. Yeah, that's right, man. We give $20 million to the 9/11 families, and they're going to strap bombs to themselves and blow up the nearest Muslim. 877-876-7445. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Don Mixon next hour.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and we have with us General Galen Shaw. General Shaw, you're talking about giving this reward money that was going to go to any individual with information leading to the apprehension or the killing of Osama bin Laden.
Yes, we know all of this, Phil, and I think you're going over this ground repeatedly.
No, I know that, okay? I'm just reestablishing for my audience. Now the money is not going to go to anyone in terms of that. People want to give it to 9/11 responders. You want to give it to the Muslim community.
Yes, and people have been saying that I am, why not give it to America? You know, I've heard an awful lot of, I'm very disappointed to say, a lot of borderline racism on your program this evening.
All right, well, no, I haven't heard that. I've heard people that might be a little misunderstanding of your intentions. Do you know who George Gibran is?
Yes, I know George Gibran very well, and I know where you're going with this.
All right, no, hold on for a minute.
I know where you're going with this. This is not what we're talking about.
Hold on for a minute. Is this guy not an Arab American who's donating a lot of money to your campaign?
I know exactly where you're going with this.
All right, if you know exactly where I'm going with it.
I didn't come on your program to talk about this. I came on your program to talk about this reward money.
Isn't George Gibran a prominent member of the Arab American community, and he's an American, born and raised?
Yes, he is an American, born and raised. How dare you intimate anything else?
But he's also a Muslim, right?
Yes, he's a Muslim.
All right. As you're campaigning...
No, I'm not going to even dignify that with a response.
All right. Well, then let me ask it so that people know what it is that they're not you're not dignifying with a response. Is your campaign... You're coming on this program tonight talking about money going to the Muslim community, have something to do with your campaign for U.S. Senate?
I can hear music when that music plays. Isn't that the end of the hour?
Excuse me, I asked you a question.
Isn't that... I can't answer because your hour is coming to an end. I wish I could, Bill. I wish to God there was more time for me to investigate and explore this, but you're all out of time. So.
Phil Hendry.
I'll see you hang...
From the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
I tore a couple of white strings on the side and I had to replace them with black strings. I cut them and then I burned them there.
We would make families of groups
organize. Bang on the flight deck officer's door.
You're causing a disturbance.
You have really beautiful feet.
World famous Phil Hendry show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And, of course, we're online at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. Every night we do live streaming video of our radio show, and you can see it. If you have a backstage pass, you can see how this show is performed, how it's done, how it ain't done, how it's this, how it's that, how it's something else, man. It's pretty mind-blowing what it is that we do here. And, of course, we do it each and every night. So get a backstage pass. Not only watch our video, but also the archives of this radio show go back to 1997. In some instances, we have podcasts. We have classic Phil podcasts. These are the older podcasts of the show. We got pre-9/11 shows. We got post-9/11 shows. We got all kinds of stuff. And, of course, we have our flashbacks, our podcasts, our daily podcasts. We have our news feed. We have video archives, 5 days of video archives of each video cast, and older video archives as well. So join us at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. And while you're there, go to our shop and pick up a mug or something. In fact, we have on screen right now on our video cast our merchandise store page. And on there you can see our T-shirt and a bunch of other stuff. Visit us and join the family over at philhendryshow.com. And when you do, you're going to be joining one of the most, the craziest bunch of people, the weirdest bunch of people. But they're all good people. All right, 877-876-PHIL, the number here on the Phil Hendry Show. Don Mixa joining us from Seattle, Washington tonight. Don is a professor of engineering at the University of Washington, and tonight we're going to be talking about the story of Congressman Schock, Aaron Schock, who is a United States congressman that posed with his shirt off, I think. If I could get the producer on the other end here to send me the story, thank you. So, you're familiar with this, Don?
Well, I'm very familiar with it. I think it's one of the most priceless stories, I think, in the news today, Phil, right now, is this guy Schock and what he's... what he means to the Republican Party. I think it's pretty amusing if you take into account everything that's going on.
All right, well, we have some audio here of I don't know who it is, but we've got a little bit of audio, and I think it is Matt Lauer. Oh yeah, it's Matt Lauer and Aaron Schock on the Today Show, and apparently what he did was he posed on the cover of this magazine. What's the name of the magazine? Men's Health, the cover. With his shirt off.
You know, there is some risk with it, but I think it's risk worth taking. It's one of the biggest challenges our country faces is the rising health care crisis. All the debate in Washington, D.C. is centered around who's paying for it. There's arguments from the left and the right. Should it be the federal government? Is it private businesses' role? And the real problem is the rising costs, and they're driven, Matt, by individual choices. So we got to change the choice.
All right, so there is Matt Lauer and Aaron Schock. He's a congressman. He's a Republican. And you were making some noise today, I think, on local radio in Seattle as well as television, about what you see as a in the closet problem.
I don't know if it's a problem that Aaron Schock has. I don't know. I would not presume to know. But I think when you have a Republican congressman posing with his shirt off on the cover of Men's Health magazine, I think it says an awful lot about the party.
Well, what does it say about the party?
Well, I think what it says is they've got a very dual personality, the Republican Party. On the one hand, they're talking about family values. On the other hand, they've got this young man who is posing on the cover of Men's Health magazine. And I just want to say one thing before we go any further here, Phil. It's I think the temptation is to say, for instance, Don Mixa, you know, am I gay? I can assure you I'm not gay. Not only am I not gay, but I currently have a relationship with a young lady who was a former student of mine. So I'd like to go further, but I don't want to wind up dead. So this has nothing to do with me.
Well, I wasn't saying that it had anything to do with you, Don. I'm saying that because a guy's got his shirt off on the cover of Men's Health magazine, he's not the first guy to have his shirt off on the cover of Men's Health magazine. Do you agree?
Oh, I'd absolutely agree with that. But he's the first congressman, the first Republican congressman to have his shirt off on the cover of Men's Health magazine. And I think that that's significant because it is an icon. It's sort of a gay archetype, if you will, to see a man with his shirt off, a guy who is likes to, you know, lift iron, and he's a Republican. Now, the Republicans are a very anti-gay party. I don't think there's any question that the Republican Party is trying to keep gay people from being married. They're trying to keep gay people from having equal rights, and yet they have a guy with his shirt off on Men's Health magazine. So I think there's very much an identity problem going on there.
Well, what is the identity problem then? You're saying there's an identity problem. Are we talking about a party that's gay?
Well, there's no such thing as a party being gay.
Are we talking about a party that has a lot of gay people in it that they don't acknowledge?
Well, I think without question you've got a party there with a lot of gay people in it that they don't acknowledge.
All right, and why would gay people be attracted to a party that is anti-gay?
You're a conservative. You tell me.
Because I think gay people, like anybody else, have conservative views as well as liberal views. You know, it takes all kinds to make the world go around. But you are the one who says that the Republican Party is an anti-gay institution, yet there are gay members. So if one of the Republican congressmen, and you're not saying that Aaron Schock is gay, are you?
I don't know. I would not presume to make any judgment on Congressman Schock. You know, that's for him to know, and I guess for the rest of us to find out. I think what I'm saying, though, is that it is a shocking image for the Republican Party, which has been, for the longest time, very, very much in the camp of anti-gay rights, anti-gay marriage, anti-human rights with regard to gay people. So they're very much in that camp. And all of a sudden, they come trotting out with a guy with his shirt off, a Republican congressman with his shirt off, for all the gay world to see. It's a very gay thing to do.
What do you mean a gay thing to do? You and I have just been talking here, Don, about the fact that Men's Health magazine has had a lot. It's called Men's Health. So there's been guys on the cover of that magazine who have been cyclists. There have been guys on the cover of that magazine who've been ball players, they've been weightlifters, every kind of athlete, and a great many men who are not involved in athletics at all, who are professional people in other fields, in other walks of life, and yet value a physical conditioning. And now you have a Republican congressman, and all of a sudden you bring up the gay issue. Why not bring it up when some other man is on the cover with his shirt off?
Because the other guy that's on the cover with his shirt off is not trying to make some political point. You know, Aaron Schock is on the cover trying to make a political point, but the problem is I don't think he's being very honest about the political point he's trying to make. The political point that he says he wants to make is better health so that we don't have a high health care cost. Okay, I'm very much in favor of that, and I think that I would, I don't think there's an American that would stand against that. But I think the larger question that is not answered is why Aaron Schock on the cover of Men's Health magazine with his shirt off showing what he's got to whoever, you know. You know, when I say whoever, I'm not making any judgment.
Women?
Well, I wouldn't go that far.
All right, well, that leaves only one other gender. Men?
Well, I'm just saying that Aaron Schock is on the cover of Men's Health magazine. The only thing that it's missing is the ability to see him flex. I, I don't recall the picture, whether he put any oil on or not, but I think it's very much a message picture, and I think the message is very clear. Hi, I'm Aaron Schock, and while I am saying that we should have a healthy country, I think I'll take the opportunity to just show what I got perhaps a very long-suffering gay community. I mean, you know, this is bait and switch at its worst, Phil, and I think it's it mocks the gay community.
You're just going on and on and on and on here, Don, about bait and switch and mocking the gay community. This and that. Let me give our number out here. It's 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Congressman Aaron Schock on the cover of Men's Health magazine. His shirt's off. It's an unconventional approach to promote a new healthy lifestyle, so says the representative. But with us is Don Mixa, who is a professor at the University of Washington, a noted liberal who says that there is, I don't think there's any question, you're saying there's a gay message there.
I didn't say that either. I said that the question...
Well, yeah, you're pretty much saying that.
I did not say that, Phil. I said that it's ambiguous. If you want to be clear about it being about men's health, why do you have to have a congressman with his shirt off, oiled up, and showing off his wares? It's almost as if he's standing at some kind of a gay meat market on a Friday night, when there are many other ways of saying these things. Now, he represents Central and Western Illinois. This is a very conservative area, I'm sure, in the House of Representatives. He's already got the distinction of being the first U.S. congressman who was born in the 1980s. The Huffington Post calls him the hottest freshman. I don't think there's any doubt that this man is, part of the new generation, if you will, of Republican, which is a guy that's trying to push his way out of the closet, but he can't do it.
Why can't he do it?
Because he's a Republican, and the Republicans are not going to reward anybody for coming out of the closet. And that's why you have most of your Republicans are in the closet, and then when they finally do come out, it's by way of being arrested, or they're caught with a guy in the front seat of the car, or they're caught with their pants down in a toilet someplace, or they're caught like this man, Craig. All the Republican Congress people that come out of the closet are generally guys that were forced out by way of their pants falling down at the wrong place at the wrong time, found with a boy here, a boy there, found with their pants down around their ankles someplace, standing around with their pants off. And this is how it happens. I think.
All right. Well, in your opinion, then, Don, so that we can kind of wrap this up a little bit and take some phone calls. In your opinion, instead of being caught with his pants down around his ankles, Aaron Schock just came right out and took his shirt off to say, "Hi, I'm a gay Republican."
I think that that's not what he's doing, and I think that's what's destructive about it. I think he should come out and say, "Hi, I'm a gay Republican. Hi, this is what I got. This is what I'm selling. Anybody buy it?" Instead of coming out and saying, "Well, this is about men's health. And I want everybody to have a healthy lifestyle, and I want everyone to get a healthy lifestyle going. And hey, look at my body." I think what he's really saying in the first case is, "Hey, look at my body, and let me tell you the way that I'll make all of this work is some poppycock about health."
And so, in other words, this is a gay come on by a U.S. congressman on the cover of Men's Health magazine, and he doesn't give a damn about health, and it's all about sex. And you being a liberal. You turn this into, you basically have stereotyped gay men as sex mongers, as guys who are only interested in that.
No, I haven't. You haven't listened to what I've said.
No, I heard exactly what you said. That a guy can't take his shirt off on Men's Health magazine without being some kind of a whore, some kind of a guy that's parading it, even if he's a Republican or a Democrat. It doesn't matter, does it?
I think if it was a Republican, if it was a Democrat, it would be about health, because we've been about health. So, no, I'm not saying every gay man does that. I'm saying that Republican gays they don't have the chance, so they have to parade it like that. If it was a Democrat, a liberal, he wouldn't be afraid to show it off, and liberals are about health anyway.
Well, all right. Very, very, very cagey there, Don. Don Mixa with us. Our number, 877-876-7445, The Phil Hendry Show. Aaron Schock, a Republican congressman from Illinois, posing on Men's Health magazine, the cover with his shirt off, and Don saying, "Well, you know, the Republicans are so sexually repressed about gays that really what this guy is doing is basically saying, 'Hi, I'm gay, and I'm just talking about health because that's a good cover.'" 877-876-7445 is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. The Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Don Mixer joining us. We're talking about this story that broke today, and it is a congressman from Illinois by the name of Aaron Schlock, who has posed with no shirt on the cover of Men's Health magazine. And, Don, you have taken the opportunity here on this program as a liberal to say that this guy is basically sending some sort of, it's like a gay icon, or it's an iconic image for the gay community, or the man is in the closet. I'm not exactly sure what you're saying.
Well, I think I've been very clear. I think I'm saying that the Republican Party is a party filled with closeted gays that have no other way of expressing themselves than to pose on the cover of a Men's Health magazine. Now, you can ask the average Republican what they think about that. They don't have an opinion. And the reason is because it's probably true. I mean, I could sit here and say to you, and I could be in the middle of the Republican National Convention, as a matter of fact, and I say, well, look at all of these people here. You got a whole lot of people in the closet. Take a look at Aaron Schlock, who's on the cover of Men's Health magazine showing off his biceps. Look at these guys who get arrested with their pants off. Just exactly what have you got here in the Republican Party? And I would say to you, well, you got a whole bunch of gays in the closet. And the Republicans, the conservative movement, has nothing to say about it because they know it's true.
And, all right, so then what's the point?
Well, the point is that the party, the Republican Party, such as it is, ought to quit fooling around and come out and say, we've got a lot of gay members, and we got nothing against that. We're going to have to try to work with it. We'll have to grit our teeth and see what we can do.
You know, if they really wanted to come, if you're saying to me that there is a solution and the solution is for the Republican Party to acknowledge that there's gay members, okay.
Well, the GOP is not going to be successful. They can't be successful till they embrace gay people. You know, to be honest with themselves, they've got a lot of gay members, a lot of young gay members, and they're never going to be successful as a political party until they start to acknowledge that people, you know, gay people exist. But they don't want to do that. So this is what happens.
So, but no, the point is that if you are standing there in the middle of the Republican convention and you say to them, there's a whole bunch of you people that are in the closet, they won't do anything about it. They won't deny it, but they won't do anything about it.
Exactly. They won't deny it. Because they can't deny it, but you're right, they won't do anything about it because the Republican Party right now is frozen with fear when it comes to the whole gay issue. They don't want to say they got gay people. They don't really want to come out and go after the gay vote. They're not sure how they feel about gay marriage. They're not sure how they feel about a lot of stuff. And so as a result of that, they are a paralyzed party. And now what happens? Now you have all of these gay Republicans that are either caught with their pants down around their ankles in a public toilet, or they're fooling around with a kid someplace, or they're doing some kind of disgusting stuff. And then you have this young man, this Aaron Schlock, who is forced into parading himself on a magazine.
And, well, what do you say he's forced? I mean, what exactly is he going for here?
Well, he's trying to say, I'm a gay Republican, but he can't. He can't just come out and say, I'm a gay Republican, because they're going to pull the money away from him. So he has to do it in a very surreptitious way, and that is to essentially say, oh, I'm posing here on the magazine for Men's Health. Now, I don't think that I'm not saying he doesn't believe in Men's Health. I am saying, however, that this guy is gay as the day is long, and this is his way of saying, hi, I'm gay. And look, Paul Ryan, Eric Cantor, Aaron Schlock, all of these young faces, all of these young gay men.
Paul Ryan's gay, huh? Eric Cantor is gay. Aaron Schlock, you got guys that are gay that you aren't even sure whether they are or not.
I wouldn't doubt it. I mean, take a look at them. I mean, I think the Republican Party has a queer side to it.
Well, all of this is really just cheap political points. It's a shameful thing for you to come on here and start to make some political hay out of a guy who is trying to promote health. Now, you, as a Democrat, you're talking about the president's health care program.
Exactly.
Okay. What's wrong with a guy coming on and saying, a Republican saying, well, how about prevention? Or how about physical fitness? Or how about keeping yourself in shape?
Well, they can do that, Phil, but they don't just do that. Because they've got so many closeted gays over there, they got so many of these guys shoved deep in the closet, that when it comes time to talk about the body, the human body, the physical body, what comes leaking out is this, it's just the gay, repressed gay aspect of that party comes pouring out. And I'm saying that if they embrace the homosexual in the Republican Party, I'm saying that they would be far better off, because then they'd be talking about openly about gay people in the Republican Party, but they don't want to do that. So they've got to force this guy, this Schlock, to take his shirt off and talk about physical health while he's gay, and he's got to be gay. He needs to be gay, and he feels gay, and he has to be gay. And the way to be gay is to take your shirt off in Men's Health magazine, flex a muscle, or do whatever it is that you do.
You know, you sound like the biggest homophobe. You sound like a real bigot to me. You sound like a guy, Don, to be perfectly honest with you, you sound like a guy that just stereotypes everybody, including gay people. That's what you're doing right here.
I'm not stereotyping anybody.
Yeah, you are. You're saying, oh, well, look at this guy. Because he's gay and because he's a repressed gay, it's got to come leaking out somehow. It's got to come, somehow it's got to come pushing out. Okay?
Look, I feel sad for the closet cases in the GOP. And I would say to anybody that's in a closet in the Republican Party to come on over to become a Democrat, because you guys are, it's a joke. And if this is how you get your kicks, you know, posing nude on a magazine cover.
He's not posing nude.
Well, you know what I'm saying, with his shirt off. Because you can't allow yourself to express who you are. You can't just be the, you know, let me say it, you can't be the queer that you are in the Republican Party. I think it's time for you to cross the street, come on over, become a Democrat.
Yeah, well, you know, this is a message that is fine for gay people. What is your message to the Republican Party in general, the straight people in the Republican Party?
Well, I don't have anything to say to them, because they're never going to, they don't even understand what I'm talking about. I'm talking directly to the gays in the Republican Party to come on over, become a Democrat. Don't join the, don't stay in the Republican Party. And as far as the straight people in the Republican Party, you're never going to get through to them. They don't even understand what I'm talking about, so it's pointless.
All right, hold the line here. Don Mixa with us from the University of Washington. You know, a guy takes his shirt off and he's posing for the cover of Men's Health magazine as a Republican to talk about physical fitness. And what is he saying? Oh, this is a gay thing. Well, he must be, you know, he's so repressed as a gay guy, it's just going to come pouring out of him. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show. More with Don Mixa. Is the GOP just full of closet-case homosexuals, or is our guest just taking these cheap political shots? Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and with me is Don Mixa from the University of Washington, and I've got on one of our newsmaker lines, I don't know which one it is, bud, but we have on Larry Grover from Conservatives of Kern County. And Larry, how are you?
Well, so thank you for having me on your program.
And Don Mixa is in Washington. What we want to do here is, Don, do you know Larry?
I do not know Larry, no.
Hey, how are you? Larry Grover.
Yes, sir, how are you?
All right, here's what I want to do. Larry, I know you are, and Larry is an obvious conservative member of a very active PAC here in the state of California, who is going to take a little exception to what you've been saying, Don. Larry, go ahead.
The first thing I think that I would say, I'm a Republican, I'm a conservative, is to say that we have such a number of closeted gays in our party that they know no other way of expressing themselves than by taking their shirts off and posing on the cover of a Men's Health magazine, which is saying is essentially Aaron Schock, a young congressman, is engaged in sexual mongering for his jollies, or however you put it, and I think that you owe an apology to that man, first of all.
Well, can I say something?
I'm not done yet. I think you owe an apology to that man, and I think you also, by inference, are saying that the entire party is repressed and would rather that gays stay in the closet. And nothing could be further from the truth. We deal with our gay members openly.
But you do not believe in gay marriage. You know that. You don't believe in gay rights. You know that.
Well, I would not say that we don't believe in gay rights. We don't believe in gay marriage. But we don't believe in the marriage between a man and an animal. You know, we don't believe that a man can marry a goat.
That's outrageous, Phil. And this is the whole thing that I say about these conservatives, where they have to compare bestiality. The gay homosexuality is a normal thing. It's in society. It's been raised. You know, the National Psychiatric, the American Psychiatric Association. It's not a mental illness.
I didn't say that it was a mental illness.
Well, you're talking about marrying a man marrying a goat.
Well, I said that it's not legal for a man to marry a goat. And
yeah, but you see, if I can interrupt here, Larry, that's the old saw. You know, that's the argument that a lot of conservatives use. It just doesn't have any. It just doesn't have any legs anymore to say, well, we don't have this kind of aberrant sexual union. We don't have that kind of aberrant sexual union. So why should we? So basically, what you're saying is marrying two men or marrying two women, that's aberrant sexuality, and therefore that's the Republican and conservative stance.
That is not the Republican or conservative stance.
Wait a minute. What Phil just said, Larry, is that you are comparing the marriage of two people of the same gender to a man marrying an animal. All right.
Well, yes, I did. I said that you. No, I did not. I said it's not legal to marry an animal. It's not legal to marry. You would agree with that, correct?
Of course, I'd agree with that. But I would not say that marrying an animal is the same thing as two people of the same gender getting married, and I think that's what you were trying to say.
That I agree with Don to this end, Larry.
Wait. I called up because you were having a hard time pinning this guy down, and now you're taking his side?
No, I'm not taking his side. I'm saying I don't think you're I don't think you're getting anywhere when you say that two people marrying of the same gender shouldn't be legal because a guy marrying an animal isn't legal.
That's what we've been saying, though.
Yeah. All right. Well, there you go, Phil. I mean, that's your Republican for you. That's your conservative.
Well, what does that mean? That's your conservative. What you're saying to me then is you're looking at me as if I am, like I'm a goat or something. You know?
No, I'm saying to Phil that your point of view is one that is highly, excuse me for putting it this way, it's a retarded point of view.
What do you mean by retarded?
What does that mean?
I don't mean retarded as mentally retarded. I mean retarded as it is an impeded point of view. There's you're trying to say that sexual union of two people of the same gender is aberrant, and I think that that's the entire Republican and conservative case, Phil. And that's where they are, and that's why they are where they are. Because they don't recognize reality, because they continue to push this into the background, and so their membership, and when you talk about Aaron Schock...
Well, that's the reason why I called up. I wanted to talk about Aaron Schock, and I wanted to, if I could, Phil...
Go ahead.
I wanted to say, this is a young congressman from Illinois. I think he's an outstanding young congressman, and he took his shirt off on the cover of a magazine. And he did that so that people could see how ripped he is, and they would start having better health, okay? Now, why do you automatically think it's about gay?
Because I think in your party, Larry, where you there is no outlet for gay expression. There's no outlet for the gay, the principle of equal rights. There's no outlet for the principle of marriage. There's no outlet for the principle of human rights applied to gay people. So there has to be a statement made, and that was his statement. And
well, so you're not saying that when Larry Grover or anybody looks at that picture that I'm automatically, it makes me hot or something?
I'm not saying that unless, of course, that's what you're saying.
Well, I didn't say that. I didn't say that at all. I'm saying, are you making the accusation that because this guy takes his shirt off in a magazine, as a conservative, I'm supposed to get hot when I see it?
No, I didn't say that at all. I said I wouldn't doubt it if you got hot.
And what's that mean?
It means that I think there's a lot of you guys are in a closet that party. You know?
Okay, so that's been the big point here, that he thinks that the Republican Party is full of a lot of closet cases, that the Republican Party is filled with lots of guys, who haven't come out, and they enjoy seeing this kind of stuff because it's the only way that they can express themselves. But I mean, let's face it, okay, Don. Gay men, whether they're Republican or whether they're Democrat, are going to find outlets, they're going to find bars, they're going to find each other, and they're going to have the lives that they want to have in this country where it is legal, regardless of what the Republican Party thinks of it.
Well, yes, but it cannot be expressed in the open public forum of this country. And so when a guy takes his shirt off, this guy, this Schock, when he takes his shirt off and he's showing his... you know, all he has to, the only thing that that picture lacks are clothespins on his nipples. And boy, oh boy, you know, you've got some kind of a mind on you. And are you denying that that's what it lacks?
I don't deny, I'm not denying, I'm not saying that that may be in other pictures, but on Men's Health Magazine.
You're telling me that this is a picture that is, I saw the picture, it's got nothing to do with pornography at all.
Are you gay?
No, I'm not.
Well, then how do you know? And
well, I can, I'm not gay, but it's not, I don't think it is either. And I had the same thought you had, but that doesn't make me gay.
All right, you had the same thought that I had.
Well, why would you have that thought, Don?
I had the thought simply because I thought it was pornographic. Mr. Grover says that it's not.
It is not pornographic.
Then what did you mean you had the same thought as me?
I thought about the clothes peg angle.
Okay, well, the more you talk, the more you give yourself away, sir. And
I'm not giving anything away.
All right, let's get off of this, whether you guys are talking about clothes pegs or not, okay?
He's the guy that said that he agreed with me, that that's what the picture, he thought about that. Now, I'm saying to you, Mr. Grover, you can be anything you want, you can believe anything you want. But when you say that you see that picture, and you agree with me that there should be clothes pegs on his nipples, I think you need...
I didn't say that I agree with you, I said I thought about that.
All right, well, I think you need to have a long, long talk with yourself. Are you married?
That's none of your... No, I'm not married, it's none of your business.
Well, you have a... You know, Larry, you don't really hang out with women.
Yes, I do. I've had a lot of on my plate.
You got a lot on your plate, what?
I got a lot on my plate. Meaning I don't date a lot. That doesn't mean that I'm gay, because I don't date a lot.
Well, you hardly date at all. And when you do, you talk about,
I talk about treating women with respect. Yes, I talk about treating women with respect.
What does that mean?
Well, what it means is I treat women with respect when I go out with them.
You've been on our program before, though, talking about sexual union with women, as far as you're concerned, means cleanliness and...
Of course it means cleanliness.
But you've talked about having solvents in the room?
Let me explain something.
Boy, this ought to be good.
Oh, is that right? It ought to be good? Okay, listen up. It ought to be good, huh?
Well, I don't know what Mr. Henry means about solvents.
Let me tell you. When I date a woman, and if I so choose as to be intimate with a woman, I do it with the greatest of respect. She removes as little clothing as possible, and I make sure those sheets and everything is stripped from the bed. The moment, well, now what you're doing is you're sitting there going, boy, is this guy nuts.
That's pretty much what I'm saying, yes, sir.
Uh-huh, and where do you get off?
Well, hold on for a minute. I wasn't judging you.
The hell, well, he was.
Well, look at Phil. All I had to hear this guy say was, you know, I strip everything from the bed the moment it's done, and I have a, you know, I it's clean, and the woman removes as few clothes. What does that mean? She removes as few clothes as possible.
It means that if you're going to engage in intimacy, she doesn't have to strip like a slave on an auction block. I would never do that to a woman, ever. And if we were to have relations, it would be with her wearing as much of her clothes as possible. The bed sheet, all the clothes, all the clothing, all the linens would be taken out and, yes, washed in a solvent if possible. And if not possible, then they are burned.
Burned? Are you kidding me, man?
No, man. I'm not kidding you, man. You know, man...
Phil, this is a guy that is walking on the razor's edge.
No, hold on for a minute. What do you mean, burned? I want to know.
I mean that if you can't get a... I live with my mother, and I'll tell you something right now, my friend. If you think mother is going to be subjected to stains on sheets from some other woman, it's not going to happen. Not while my mother is alive. And so if I can't get that... If the sheet is not bleached properly, I will... What do you do with it?
You can throw it away. I mean, if you really had a problem with it, man, excuse me for calling you man.
Okay, man. All right, man.
What is your problem with Phil calling you man?
I don't like it.
Excuse me, Larry, but if you really had a problem, why wouldn't you just throw them away?
Because there's a danger... Throw them away so that every guy that picks up garbage in Southern California can get his kicks? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, boy.
No, not oh, boy. No, not oh, boy. Trust me, my friend. I've got experience with this. When the guys from Clapco Refuse Removal came by my home,
2 years ago, and I had done what Mr. Henry suggested, put the sheets in the garbage, and there they were out there, wearing them on their heads, pretending they were ghosts, running around with them on their head. And
You told me it was Halloween, right?
Yes, it was Halloween, but you don't think those sheets were going into the garbage, do you? I bet you those guys took them home, and I don't even want to begin to think of what they were doing with them.
They were running around out on your street with sheets over their heads.
You know, Mr. Grover, with all due respect, you represent a very, very viable and important political action committee, and you're beginning to sound as if you've got a screw loose. And
no, I don't have a screw. Of course I sound like I got a screw loose. You're a Democrat. Why wouldn't you think I got a screw loose? There's nothing that we say in the Republican Party that you guys think has any kind of any solid thinking at all. And I've said some things here tonight that I think are very, very substantial.
Well, I would not put into that category the whole thing about solvents and burning sheets and...
All right, okay, get off of that kick. But what I said about this guy Shock with his shirt off, that's the next best thing to this guy Larry Craig with his pants off.
Larry Craig was popped in... All right, thank you, gentlemen. Larry, thank you for calling in.
Well, I don't think that I was treated...
I apologize. If I offended the gentleman, I appreciate you calling in, sir.
Well, I don't think I was treated with the respect that I expected.
I apologize as well, but I think that when you say things, like some of the things that you said...
Yeah, because...
Hold on for a minute, Don. When you say things like some of the things that you said, you should expect to have people raise an eyebrow.
Raise an eyebrow at what? That I want a clean... That I want a crisp and clean room after a woman leaves it? That I want everything... Boy... How do you live? You mean you're telling me you don't immediately burn sheets after you have sex with a woman?
That's none of your business.
Well, Phil,
hold, guys, I got to take a break. That's none of your business. And by the way, it is none of your business, but I can give you a definitive no on that. Do you immediately burn sheets? 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. And still to come tonight, we have our News and Information Hour with Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard, 877-876-7445. Check us out on the web at philhenryshow.com. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
All right, well, thank you, Don Mixa, and thank you, Larry Grover, for whatever that was. But I can tell you something, you know, Larry, if you called this radio show to try to make things better, all you did was make them even weirder than they already were. And it was been a long time since I heard that guy lay out all that stuff about solvent. You remember that?
Yeah, the last time he come on here about 2 years ago.
2 years ago? It was more like five. He was talking about making sure that he had gasoline standing by after he had intimate relations with a woman so that he could set fire to the he set fire to the bed.
Is that abnormal?
Are you kidding or something?
Yeah, it's abnormal, man. No, but I mean, what about disease and everything?
What do you mean, what about disease? You know, Bud, all you got to do is wash your sheets and, you know, take care of the mattress. And if it gets too old, throw it out, get a new one. And, you know, use the things one should use, whether they're condoms or diet, whatever, you know, maintain your healthy station in life and you don't have to worry about anything. Some guy taking the sheets into his backyard and burning them after having sex with a woman. If I was that woman, I wouldn't walk. I'd run from that house.
Yeah, man. That's weird, man.
Yeah, but I think he was trying to make the point that he's a good man.
I don't have any doubt that he's a good man, although I think Larry's one of these guys that's wrapped too tight, man. He's a guy that's he's on his way from good man status to weird ass real fast. All right, Phil Henry Show, our number 877-876-7445. Why don't you guys just take a chill, okay? We're not doing the News and Information Hour yet, okay? I'm going to do that next hour. You guys just bug off, okay?
Yeah, well, I got a couple opinions I want to give.
I don't care. I don't want to hear your opinions right now. Go. Get out of here.
You don't want an opinion at all?
No, I don't. Anyway, welcome back to our program. And don't forget our website, philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. And over there you can find a podcast of the show tomorrow morning. So, so in the morning, whatever you're doing. And the other thing that we are continually emphasize on the show, and I did it the other night, I don't have my phone with me, is the fact that you can watch our video casts as well as listen to our show in the podcast form mobile. So if you have your iPhone, if you have your Droid, if you have your whatever you have, you can watch the show. You can watch our streaming video. Either you can see it live, or you can listen, or you can watch the on-demand video cast in the morning. So tomorrow morning, using Skyfire as your browser for your iPhone. That's the only thing that I would say that we recommend. And quite frankly, anyone that has an iPhone, to watch the live Phil Henry show on video or to watch it on demand, get the browser Skyfire. And then you'll be able to stream the show live. Liberals in southern Arizona seek to form new state. Well, now here's something that a long simmering movement by liberal stalwarts in southern Arizona to break away from the rest of the largely conservative state is at a boiling point as secession backers press to bring their long shot ambition to the forefront of Arizona politics. Well, there's something that really needs to be discussed right now. Like, we got all the time in the world for that kind of junk. Whatever happened to this idea that we were going to be working together, you know, this bipartisan thing? Was that okay? A group of lawyers from the Democratic stronghold of Tucson and surrounding Pima County have launched a petition drive seeking support for a November 2012 ballot question on whether the 48th state should be divided into two states. Now, that's a state, Arizona. If ever there was a state that needed to be two states, it was California. And we had this discussion not too long ago. There was a discussion about dividing the state of California in two because the northern part of the state had all the water and it had all the liberals, and the southern part of the state had all the conservatives and all the desert. And the Northern California people didn't want to keep, pumping water down to Southern California. And there's definitely an attitude difference between the northern and southern parts of the state. But I ain't never heard about Arizona having this problem. The ultimate goal of the newly formed Political Action Committee, Start Our State, is to split Pima County off into what would become the nation's 51st state, tentatively dubbed Baja Arizona. How big is this Pima County? Backers have until July the 5th next year to collect the 48,000 signatures required to qualify for a spot on the ballot. If they succeed, it would mark the first hurdle in a long, circuitous process that even the most determined of supporters readily acknowledges has little chance of bearing fruit. Then why even do it? Aren't there more important things we can deal with in this country right now? If we're beginning to talk about secession, with all of the problems we have right now, we ain't heading in the right direction, man. All right, our news and information hour next on the Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
Those who are here illegally, they have a responsibility as well.
You know, sometimes people don't say the right thing.
It is inappropriate, but it is the residents.
Began to bang on the flight deck.
Why did we buy Alaska in the 1950s?
He needs his mama.
World famous Phil Henry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. All right, this is a radio show that goes places other talk shows wish they could. If you don't believe me, just ask them. And we're here every night until 1 a.m., like I say, West Coast, 4 a.m. East Coast, doing all of that stuff and more. Our website, philhenryshow.com, and, Radio for Patriots by Patriots, and kicking a little bit of ass, taking a few names, and hopefully giving people just enough of a reason to keep on living through another night. Keep on marching, baby, right over top of all them soft heads, all of those stupid people. All right, coming up this hour, we have our news and information hour with Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard. Don't forget, you can get your official Phil Henry Show T-shirt. And what is all this horse dung I'm hearing here?
People want to have a logo on the front.
Well, they ain't getting a logo on the front. We got a T-shirt that has the Phil Henry logo on the back. Okay, so, when they know what you're all about, they're in your exhaust. How about that? So pick up your best of, your Phil Henry, official Phil Henry Show T-shirt at philhenryshow.com. Just hit on shop, And there it is. What the hell have we got in the news tonight, man? Some bizarre things. Lacrosse players suspended under zero tolerance policies. I mean, there's not really a whole lot of news. I guess if you guys want the big story here, Schwarzenegger and Shriver split after 25 years. But one would have thought that the biggest story of all, and it would have lasted a lot longer than just maybe a week and a half, it's beginning to fade from the front pages, the killing of Osama bin Laden. It's just like, I guess we just, like what?
I don't know. I was thinking about that, you know, it didn't like matter anymore, but when they finally did kill him, it felt good. But if they had not caught him, you know.
Yeah, I mean, if they didn't catch him, it still would have been, I mean, we're going to get him and go to work.
That's a fair assessment, I think. You know, I wouldn't thinking about that guy. Days, weeks could go without me thinking about that guy. Then all of a sudden, one night, bang, there it is, Osama bin Laden dead. And we let it out of our system for a few days, and now we're back to square one. And for some people, I mean, it wasn't even a few days. It was like one. And then, this being America, of course, one week later, we got to deal with O'Donnell and the rest of those schlubs, those just silly little people with their problems having to do with, you know, we didn't Mirandize his ass, and we didn't, give him his phone call.
Wonder who he'd call.
Yeah, he'd probably call, like, Al-Qaeda or something.
What do you mean, Al-Qaeda? You think they're in the book?
Well, he'd probably call up, like, a number he got.
He had a number that was sewn into his pants.
What do you mean, sewn into his pants?
Yeah, they had a number on it that was sewn into his pants, right?
Well, it was sewn into some kind of a jacket. I don't know if it's sewn into his pants, but he had a phone number, and he had 500 euros. How far are you going to get on 500 euros?
What is that?
500 European dollars. They got a little bit higher value than American dollars. I think it takes us $1.24 to buy 1 euro.
What's that mean?
If you want to get a euro dollar, it's worth more than an American dollar.
Well, what do you mean it costs $1.24?
If you want to buy a euro, let's say you're going to Europe and you need to use euros, okay?
Uh-uh.
What is with him?
You got to have the right kind of money to go to another country, right?
Yeah, what about a pound and everything like that? I heard about a pound.
It ain't a pound, man. It's a euro. When you're in England, you can use a pound. I don't know. Do they use euros in England? What do they do?
I don't know. I think they still got a pound.
And I guess they got francs, but you use euro dollars when you're traveling around Europe, okay? Pound. I don't know, man. All right. You understand what I'm saying, bud?
Yeah.
So, you want to go and get some, right?
Yeah.
All right. Now, how do you think you go and get euros?
You go and you get them at the bank.
Right. Well, you don't just walk in and say, okay, give me 500 euros, right?
No, you got to give them American money, and then they do an exchange. Oh, now, okay, now I see what you mean.
Yeah. Are you kidding me, man?
Oh, no, it's okay. Yeah, so you have to pay to get your euros. If you give $400 to some cat in a bank to get euros, you're probably going to get, I don't know what the hell you're going to get. You get $400, you're going to get maybe 300 bucks back, 300 euros back.
That's a jip.
Well, you can call it a jip if you want, or you can say that's the rate of exchange. That's the rate of exchange. It's more valuable to get a euro, which means it's more difficult for us to travel, which means we can't spend money overseas as much as we spend it here, which means the people in Europe and in Asia and elsewhere are not going to get American dollars like they, like to have. They want to have America. They want to, lots and lots of American dollars. And, I mean, it's one thing to say, well, we're going to get a lot of American dollars for fewer euros, but it's another thing to say, how are we going to entice the Americans to buy our euros when they're so expensive? Americans don't want to buy those. Americans are going to spend their money on other things. So it's, one way or the other.
I don't understand any of that stuff, man.
How did we even get on this subject? We're talking about euros. We were talking about bin Laden. He had 500 euros in his coat.
Yeah, he'd get 500 euros. I guess I don't know where he's going to take them to. Can he get a bus or something?
I don't know why he had 500 euros, man. I think it was like real desperation money. It's like, it's the most valuable thing over there in the Middle East. You notice it wasn't American money. It was euro money. And it was obviously enough money to get him from point A to point B, where he could get on a phone or something and get all of his billions and billions and millions of dollars. All right. The other story here, former California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger and his activist wife, Maria Shriver, have announced their separation after 25 years of marriage. The couple's been living separately for at least a few weeks, they said in a statement on Monday. Well, what a drag. Insiders say Shriver actually moved out of the L.A. home that they share together some months ago. Wow. This has been a time of great personal and professional transition for each of us, the statement read. After a great deal of thought, reflection, discussion, and prayer, we came to this decision together. At this time, we are living apart while we work on the future of our relationship. Well, look at these people. They're butchering up marriage, man. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, you're talking about gay people.
I didn't say anything about gay people. Anyway, at this time, we are living apart while we work on the future of our relationship. We consider this a private... Well, you know, a lot of people do that, even when they're married, you know. They could still very much... have their marriage back together. Because you're separated doesn't mean that, you know, your marriage is over.
Yeah, but see, the headline there said that Shriver were miserable in a marriage for a long time. And I wonder if that's going to kind of Arnold's just, you know, he's had all kind of women and everything.
Yeah, he's a movie star.
I don't know. I'm not going to make those assumptions. Schwarzenegger, who today announced his acting comeback in film drama Cry Macho, had ignored his wife for years, and she felt underappreciated after spending very little time together in recent years, according to TMZ. TMZ, as you know, is an entertainment website that lies all the time. Now then.
What?
No, I'm kidding. It doesn't say that. Statement did not reveal when the separation began, but sources claim it was a long time coming. Long time coming, man.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Claimed she was miserable in a marriage for several years.
Yeah.
And had complained about her actor husband ego. Well, baby, you marry an actor, what do you think you're going to get?
Yeah, these women, man, they want to marry an actor, and they have a big stud actor. Now they find out what it's all about.
Well, it's true. Of course, she's Maria Shriver.
Who's she?
She's a member of the Kennedy family, so she's heavyweight as it is, baby. Don't worry about that. Now, Schwarzenegger... apparently, Shriver's understood to have been concerned about whether or not to divorce because of her religious beliefs. One source said she's been a lost soul for a long time. Poor girl. Although this story seems to be written from the perspective of Maria Shriver. Well, you know, let's face it.
Did you say you met Schwarzenegger?
I met him over at Clear Channel, and I met him one fine day. He had been doing an interview, and he came down the hall, and he was just doing the glad handing. You know, hey, how you doing? How you doing? How you doing? It was just before he became governor. And I remember because I was struck by how short he was. He's shorter than me. I'm 6 feet tall, so I'm 6 foot, so he's got to be 5'10", I would say.
Yeah, 5'10", not that small.
Well, no, maybe 5'9". Oh, you know, I'll have to look it up. But 6 foot is not all that tall anymore either. You know, 6 foot is like almost average height. And Schwarzenegger looked a lot shorter than me, although the guy was about 15 times wider than me. Wide, not depth, you know?
Yeah, your stomach could probably still beat out his, right?
Yeah, that's right, bud. That's right. My stomach could beat out his. Anyway, Shriver has been, she's not been wearing her wedding ring since mid-March, and on April 15th, Schwarzenegger was photographed without his wedding band while on a bike ride in L.A. Wow. Shriver also posted a video on YouTube in March in which she was naked, and I'm kidding.
Oh, get out of here. Are you serious?
I'm kidding. Shriver posted a video on YouTube in March asking her fans for advice on how to transition into the next phase of her life. As you know, transitions are not easy. I'd love to get your advice on how you've handled transitions in your own life, she said in a video posted on YouTube. It's so stressful to not know what you're doing next. People ask, what are you doing? And then they can't believe that you don't know what you're doing. The couple have four children together, aged 14 to 21, and today their son, Patrick, 17, thanked his Twitter followers for their kind words. He wrote, I appreciate all your messages. Small speed bump in life. Luckily, we own Hummers. We will cruise right over it. All will be okay. Peace. Wow, these kids, man, that's the toughest part, you know. The couple met in 1997 when journalist Tom Brokaw introduced Shriver to the Austrian bodybuilder at a charity tennis tournament. The two married in April of 1986. They've got four children. Shriver helped bolster Schwarzenegger's campaign 8 years ago to become California governor. She stood by the Terminator actor at the time amid claims that he groped a string of women during his movie career. See, that didn't hurt him at all, did it?
No, it didn't, man.
He had all kinds of women coming out of the woodwork saying he groped them and grabbed them and gripped them and...
Probed them.
And it didn't hurt him because I think people here in California realize, well, the guy's a movie actor. Of course he was groping. He was groping and he was moping, man. Anyway, the Los Angeles Times broke the story late yesterday saying that Shriver is moving out of their Brentwood mansion while the two determine the next step in their 25-year marriage. Before Schwarzenegger became governor of California in 2003, Shriver was a superstar presenter. Presenter? How did that become an English word? Anyway, presenter on KTLA. So that's the story.
What's that?
Presenter is a word they use generally in England or in British television. All right. Coming back here on a world-famous Phil Henry show, we got other news for you. The Navy will allow same-sex marriages on bases, and lacrosse players are suspended under zero-tolerance policies. 877-876-7445, the Phil Henry Show. And also, a judge calls a defendant gayer than a sweet-smelling jockstrap. Boy, we got gay news tonight, don't we, on the Phil Henry Show.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show.
U.S. Airways lands its lowest satisfaction rating in flyer survey. Southwest at the top. A new Consumer Reports survey reveals that air travelers want comfort without emptying their wallets. No kidding.
That makes sense.
And many airlines don't deliver. No kidding.
That'd seem to be a lot easier if they just take everybody's opinion.
They ain't going to take nobody's opinion, man, unless it makes them some money. That's the way all businesses run. Look, let me tell you something. One of the most suspect sources of consumer feedback many times is a customer survey. You don't know what the hell people are thinking and talking about. People will say all kinds of stuff when they're taking a survey. People will say all kinds of stuff when someone is polling information. People will say, we want this, we want that, we want this. One of the worst things you can do is to ask people what they like or what they don't like, because people don't know what they like until they hear it, see it, or experiencing it. Now, that happens to be a bona fide fact in the history of consumer relations in this country.
Well, say that again, man.
Yeah.
People don't know what they like until they actually experience it.
Well, if a guy asked me, you want to have a chocolate, like chocolate ice cream or vanilla, I'd say chocolate, and that guy would be happy.
Okay, that's very good, bud. But don't you also like coffee ice cream?
Yeah.
All right. Suppose you didn't know there was such a thing as coffee ice cream. And a guy says, would you like chocolate or would you like vanilla? And you go, I'd like chocolate. Then along comes another guy and he says, I've got coffee-flavored ice cream. What would you say?
I'd say that there's no such thing.
What are you talking about, man? The guy came by with it.
The guy came by with it. The guy invented it.
The guy invented the coffee ice cream?
Yes, the guy invented coffee.
A guy asks you, do you like chocolate ice cream or vanilla ice cream? What do you say?
I'd say I like chocolate.
And then another guy comes with coffee ice cream. What do you say?
I'd say, he says he's got coffee ice cream. The other guy already asked me.
Oh, come on, man. You know what we're talking about. The other guy already asked me.
Well, why did that guy have coffee?
Because he didn't invent it. He didn't know. He's a company, and he has chocolate and vanilla ice cream. That's all he's got. Okay?
Yeah.
So he's always coming around, and he's always asking the same stupid question. Do you like chocolate, or do you like vanilla? Do you like chocolate, or do you like vanilla? And all of his customers say, almost to the tune of 80 or 90%, we love chocolate. So what does he do? He keeps making chocolate ice cream. He keeps making chocolate ice cream. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, because that's what people like.
Great. Now comes a guy with coffee-flavored ice cream. Okay? And Bud Dickman has never had coffee-flavored ice cream. But you like coffee, don't you?
No, I don't like it at all.
What do you mean you don't like coffee?
You don't like coffee.
I don't drink it.
Well, then why do you like coffee-flavored ice cream?
Because I like the flavor of it.
All right, well, a guy comes along and he has coffee-flavored ice cream. What do you say to him?
I don't like it.
Why?
Because I don't like coffee.
What are you talking about, man?
Bud, I'm going to belt you, man, in about 5 seconds.
What are you talking? I wouldn't have no coffee ice cream because I don't like the taste of it.
Then why do you like coffee ice cream? How did you find out about coffee ice cream?
They ran out of chocolate.
They ran out of chocolate?
Yeah. That's the time you went over there. You went with me to Ben and Jerry, right?
Yeah.
So in other words, they ran out of chocolate, so you tried the coffee and you liked it?
Yeah.
You know something, bud? All right, I can tell you the way it usually works is the following thing. Guy's having chocolate and vanilla and chocolate and vanilla and chocolate and vanilla until the cows come home, and along comes a guy with a different flavor. And people go, wow, you know, I've been eating chocolate and vanilla and chocolate and vanilla. Let me try this. And suddenly, whoa, they like it. Okay?
Yeah, but nobody asked their opinion, though.
Exactly. Nobody asked their opinion. No one said to them, well, if you didn't like chocolate or vanilla, what other flavor would you like? Because people don't know. If all they know is chocolate and vanilla, what the hell are they going to say? Well, I don't know. So the shrewd businessman, the shrewd creative, is someone who goes according to their own instinct. They say, well, this is something. Let me try this. Let me try that. You're always trying things. You're always trying things in the marketplace to see what people like. So the guy that came along with coffee-flavored ice cream.
What about Moose Tracks?
Yeah, I like that.
All right, well, the guy that came along with Moose Tracks. All the good stuff that you like, the guy that came up with that, this is a guy to follow, because he's not just some dude that's responding to polls, man. This guy is telling you what's up. You know, he's saying, here, what do you think? Oh, I like it. That's what I mean about people not knowing what they like until they taste it. I never tried coffee.
Well...
anyway, this new Consumer Reports survey reveals that air travelers want comfort without emptying their wallets. Many airlines don't deliver. U.S. Airways landed at the bottom of the list for overall satisfaction. They also received the lowest marks for cabin crew service. The airline also ranked lowest in 2007. 2007? When the last Consumer Report airline rankings were released. Oh, and so the new ones here in 2011, 4 years later, and they're still at the bottom. A U.S. Airways spokesman questioned the methodology of the Consumer Reports survey and pointed out a 70% improvement in baggage delivery since 2007. 70 ain't good enough, man. How about 100? The airline scored a 61 out of 100 in overall satisfaction on the Consumer Reports scale. Scores above 60 mean those surveyed were fairly well satisfied, according to the ratings guide. Southwest Airlines, though, topped the rankings for overall satisfaction, which includes getting top ratings for ease of check-in for flights, in-flight service, cabin cleanliness, and baggage handling, with JetBlue Airways coming in second in the survey of nearly 15,000 passengers. How about that? JetBlue and Southwest. JetBlue and Southwest also scored highest in seat comfort.
That sounds pretty good.
I don't like to fly them, man, because you gotta, like, it's like a bus or something.
Why? Just because they give you that card?
Yeah, you want to be treated like you're the king or something.
No, I don't. I just don't like holding on to that plastic thing.
Whatever, man. I mean, look at flying now. That's the way it is. You know, you check it in yourself. You get your own seat assignment. Southwest just makes it quicker than most. And Southwest is like a commuter thing, man. You know, it's going between cities where a lot of business people are commuting. The passengers shared their experiences from a collective 29,720 domestic flights from January of 2010 to January of 2011, and these survey results were compiled before cracks were discovered in some of Southwest Airlines' planes.
Yeah, what would they say then?
I don't know. Maybe they come in dead last. That's a drag, Southwest. You were doing okay, man, until the freaking roof started to peel off of one of your jets. All right, high schoolers get suspended and arrested for bringing weapons to school, but is this a case of zero tolerance run amok? We're going to find out coming up here on The Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com.
Phil Hendry. Patriots, by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show on our website, philhendryshow.com. Lacrosse. What the hell am I saying here?
Lacrosse, man.
I know. I'm going lacrosse.
Yeah, probably got something wrong with your mouth.
What do I got wrong with my mouth? I just said lacrosse. I don't know why I said that, but lacrosse is what it's called, and that's how I'm going to pronounce it, and there ain't nothing wrong with my mouth. Thank you very much.
All right.
Lacrosse players suspended under zero-tolerance policies. What is it with lacrosse players, by the way?
I know, they're always, like, raping somebody and everything.
Yeah, I think it's a sport, man, is You got to be weird to play that in the first place. That's for Indians.
It's what?
It's for Indians.
What is?
Lacrosse, everybody knows it's an Indian game.
Well, what is that? What does that mean that anybody else that plays it is nuts?
Well, look at all the people that play it, man. They're weird. All them Duke players, weren't they lacrosse?
Yeah, but those guys, first of all, man, that was trumped up. Those dudes got off.
Yeah, but you could have been the other way.
Oh, get out of here. Lacrosse players suspended under zero tolerance could have been the other way. Yeah, that's right, bud, and you could have been born with brains.
Ha, ha, ha.
That ain't that funny.
Lacrosse players suspended under zero tolerance. Penknife deemed deadly weapon, lighter deemed explosive device. Okay. Now, this is in Maryland, Eastern Maryland. Varsity athlete Graham Dennis never thought of a penknife he carried in his bag to repair his lacrosse stick strings as a dangerous weapon. It was a tool of the sport, he believed, until Eastern High School officials found the item in a search of bags on a school bus headed for a game. Dennis and teammate Casey Edsel, who had a lighter that he also used to repair equipment, were sent to the principal's office, and the police were called. The police were called. Dennis was hauled off in handcuffs to be fingerprinted and charged as a juvenile with possession of a deadly weapon. Edsel was charged for having an explosive on school property. The school system's handling of the punishment has enraged the 17-year-old boy's parents and drawn criticism from some area residents who say the case is an example of Talbot County's zero tolerance policies gone amok. Here is Graham Dennis explaining to WJLA-TV what he uses the lighter and the penknife for.
I tore a couple white strings on the side, and I had to replace them with black strings. I cut them, and then I burn them there. If I don't cut them and burn them, they fray like this. It makes me feel vulnerable, like I could go out, and this would happen to me any time for things that shouldn't be like this. College is definitely a big fear for me because I'm not sure if I'm going to have to write this on my record, and I'm not sure what kind of college is going to want a kid that I have to write possession of a deadly weapon on the resume.
No kidding, man. And let me tell you what the problem is. The problem is that we've had problems with violence on school grounds before. The parents don't know what the hell to do. The parents are lost, so they leave it up to the school. Well, the school's going, well, we don't want to get sued, and we want to make sure everything's cool. So the school just says zero tolerance. So the school says, you can't have this, you can't have that, you can't have this, and you can't have that. And if we find you with this, and we find you with that, and we find you with something else, you're going to get arrested. We realize it sounds like chicken crap, but it's zero tolerance. That's what they call it, zero tolerance. Now, you may call it zero tolerance run amok, and I agree with you, but I don't blame the school. The parents don't know what to do. The parents are standing there with a thumb up their rear end. They leave it up to the school. All this stuff is going. If the parents didn't like this stuff in the first place, if they thought that they were going too far with zero tolerance in the first place, they might have said something about it. Well, you're the school. You know what's going on. Hey, I don't know.
Yeah, but how are they supposed to know?
You're right. How are they supposed to know? So what do? They leave it up to the school. What does the school say? Tell you what, the best thing that we can do so there's no problem at all is there will be zero tolerance. No exceptions. Now, one of the problems is that zero tolerance has absolutely nothing whatsoever to do with what the problem is with school violence. It's the typical remedy that society engages in. It's never the right remedy. We found this out with gun control, found it out the hard way. We spent years and years and years and years trying to control guns. Can't have guns. Can't have this many in a clip. Can't have this kind of weapon. Can't have this kind of. And we still had unbelievable violence. The reason is because we've got violent people. Violent people. And when you're in a school, especially a high school, and a kid is coming from God knows what kind of home onto that school, onto the school grounds, you don't know what kind of hell that kid's coming from. You don't have any idea. Some of these parents, I'll tell you what the parents, what the schools would do far better in concentrating on, relations with parents, figuring out exactly what kind of home this kid is living in, figuring out exactly what kind of discipline is going on, what this child is allowed to do, what this child isn't allowed to do. You call it a nanny state thing. Well, I want to ask you a question. If you don't like the nanny state, if you don't want people interfering in the home lives of other people, then how do you propose we correct the problem of violent kids? Because that's what the problem is, getting back to our gun control analysis and analogy. If the problem is criminals, which I agree it is, go after the criminals. The same thing with school violence. The problem is with a violent kid, you have to go after the violent kid. And I'm not saying you throw the kid in jail.
Well, you talk about like what?
You got to figure out why the kid's violent in the first place. With kids, it's a whole different approach. But this jazz, but I'll tell you something. There's nothing wrong with a school saying zero tolerance means zero tolerance. When they say you can't have this stuff, you can't have this stuff. Well, it's stupid. Well, it may be stupid. What the hell are they supposed to do? That's what they said they were going to do. The parents knew that's what they were going to do, and that's what they did. Now they're doing it, and everybody's got a problem with it. Well, wake up. You need some other policy? You bet you need another policy. I'll tell you the policy you need. Forget about zero tolerance. You need to figure out why some kids are violent and why other kids aren't. That's what you got to do. The school system's handling of the punishment has enraged the 7-year-old boy's parents. Well, okay, so you're enraged. You know, all you do is pick up a school handbook, pick up the, you see what's in the handbook. We're not going to allow this, we're not going to allow that. The better question is, what the hell's the kid doing with this if you're not supposed to have it? This idea of zero tolerance run amok, there's no such thing, people. There's no such thing. If you say you want a zero tolerance policy, well, brother, you better be ready to take it on. And if you don't like it, then you better be ready to do something else. In my opinion, my suggestion would be this. Concentrate on the children in the school, what's going on with them between the ears, and forget about this jazz, whether they brought a plastic knife, whether they brought a toy gun, whether they brought a lighter, whether they brought some string. And let's talk about who are the kids that are possibly prone to violence. And is it the kid that's writing the violent story? No. Is it the kid that wrote the story about the... No. Not necessarily. I realize it's, you know, we're asking our teachers to do something that's going to take, you know, quite frankly, their knowledge of children, child behavior, teaching. But it's way better asking them to do that than asking them to police the freaking kids out of every little thing they've got, man, whether it's string or a lighter or something else. All right, that's all I got nothing more to say about that, man. Our number, 877-876-PHIL. That, of course, is the number when we're taking phone calls on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. This hour is our news and information hour. What do you guys think of that?
I think it makes sense.
All right. That's all you need to say, then. Other stories. FEMA asks for return of millions in disaster aid. Cedar Rapids, Iowa, after the raging Cedar River filled his home with 13 feet of water and ruined most of his possessions, Justin Van Fleet pled for help from the Federal Emergency Management Agency to get back on his feet. Dead broke and living in a FEMA trailer following the 2008 flood, Van Fleet repeatedly submitted paperwork and made countless phone calls arguing his case. After 7 months, the agency finally gave him more than $20,000, which he said he gave his life back, which he said gave him his life back, and allowed him to move into a house. Then in March, a letter arrived from the government with a shocking message. He should never have gotten that money. He had just 30 days to pay it all back. The agency is asking Van Fleet and thousands of other Americans who were victims of natural disasters to return more than $22 million in government aid, acknowledging it mistakenly made payments to many people who were ineligible. Now, by law, listen to this before we start to get all bugged about this one. By law, FEMA's required to recover improperly spent money, but most of the people who were helped say they used the cash years ago. And they don't want to be financially punished because of the agency's errors. And that's a very good point. So anyway, FEMA's running around and asking people for their money back. People that may or may not have qualified for the money. Have they figured their act out over there at FEMA? I don't think so. World famous Phil Henry Show. Several females couldn't pass a physical fitness test, and we'll figure out what that's about. PhilHenryShow.com.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. Radio for patriots by patriots. Right. It's the Phil Henry Show.
I'm doing like heavy metal all 3 hours, and now I got this crap for bumper music.
I don't know.
Jesus, this radio show is the most schizophrenic thing I've ever worked in my life. We're doing metal for 3 hours, and I got that. What was that?
I don't know, man. I'm like Quincy Jones.
Anyway, so here we are back with our final quarter hour here on the show. It's been one of those nights, man. It's just been one of those nights. Here's a New York man who says, you know, we started the show out talking about Islam, and we had, you know, what are they going to do with the money? And General Galen Shaw said, well, you know, why don't we give it to the Muslim community? Because those guys have, they've taken a lot of heat, and people were generally disagreeing with that. I mean, they were saying the money should go to the people who were the victims of 9/11. Oh, let's give it to the Muslim community. Well, you know, there might be a little bit of a point there in what General Shaw was saying. Here's a guy who lives in Amherst, New York. He posts bomb-making next door, it says bomb-making next driveway. This is a sign on his front lawn to protest a new mosque that's going up. Now, it's a feud between two Transit Road neighbors in Amherst, New York. This is Amherst, New York. So, Transit Road may mean something to the people there. A homeowner and a mosque turned ugly this weekend when the homeowner staked a sign on his front lawn insinuating that the new 11,600-square-foot Islamic worship site is home to a bomb-making operation. I don't know why I'm laughing.
Man, that's not right.
I know, it's Michael Hike, who lives next door to the Jafara Islamic Center of Niagara Frontier, put a small sign that reads, bomb making next driveway to northbound traffic on Transit Road. Hike said he put the sign in protest because he was frustrated with how the mosque and Amherst town officials have handled his concerns about the building, which opened in November. The guy says, the place is too close. I don't care what people think. It doesn't matter what people think. This is a way to get answers now. I get none from the town. The intent was to catch the eye of the people who I have a problem with. Mosque members and other area Muslims objected to the sign and called him on a hike to take it down. Here is Dr. Saeed Jafri of the Jafaria Islamic Center talking WIVB television about his angry neighbor.
I love my neighbor and I pray for him that Almighty Creator guides him for love of humanity and be above those racist attitude.
Yeah, whatever. I pray for him. Yeah, town supervisor Dr. Barry Weinstein says the sign is protected by the First Amendment.
It is inappropriate, but it is the resident's free speech prerogative to put up a sign, and it's the same free speech that we all hold so dearly.
Yeah, that's fine, Dr. Weinstein, and maybe it is free speech. How about doing something about the guy's concerns? Now, if the guy's concerns are irrational or, you know, stupid, and they probably are, I don't know, because if this guy says he doesn't care about what people think and then he puts a sign like that up, I know he's trying to get attention. I get that. Well, he's got the attention, so how about taking the sign down? You got the attention, and I'm assuming, unless the town is filled with people as dumb as this Weinstein guy just sounded, I'm assuming they're going to try to do something about what this guy's problem is. Hike has long complained that bright lights from the mosque encroach upon his yard and violate town code. He's demanded that the mosque put up a 6-foot-tall fence along his property line, but mosque officials have objected, saying it's too costly. What's the answer to the town code question? Sounds to me like maybe they came back and said to him, you know what, Mr. Hike, you're wrong, it doesn't violate the town code. And just like a lot of these self-appointed dictators, he's a dictator of one. He's decided, well, yes, it does violate the town code. He's going to be a pain in the ass about it. Is that it? Is that the story? Instead, they planted shrubs that will grow beyond 6 feet within a few years. They didn't want to put up the signs, so they put up shrubs. Mubarak Abidi, who is the mosque president, said he called Amherst police over the weekend about the sign, but was told there was nothing illegal about it. They said there's nothing in the law that we can do anything about this sign, he said. Hike said the sign was not directed at anyone in particular. No, not at all. It does not say what driveway. It doesn't say at the mosque. He sounds like an ass.
Yeah, he does.
He sounds like a real ass. And I'm sure that he's got problems with lights and this and that and something else. But at least be man enough to say, pal, that you put the sign up because it's about the mosque. Don't start playing games. If they feel it's at them, that's how they feel. Oh, come on, you dumbass. Now, if you got a problem and it's in the town code that what your problem is, you know, it's a problem, then the town code ought to back you up. Apparently it does. But the code doesn't say that they got to put a wall up. They've decided to plant shrubs that will block the light. It's going to take a few years. Well, all right, so that's where they're at. Now, it ain't fast enough for you. It ain't good enough for you. And that's your problem. So this is what happens, folks. You talk about the spark of something. Here's a guy. He wants something. The town code says, well, this is where it's at. So he says, well, it ain't good enough. He puts up a sign about bomb making. Now it's pissing off people next door who are in the mosque business, who are in the business of, you know, having a mosque. And they're bothered because they're being called bomb makers because they didn't do exactly what he wanted them to do. They did what the town code calls for, which is at least to try to block the light with something. And apparently, according to the city, you can put shrubs in that will grow to block the light eventually. Why didn't they put up the fence? Because they said it was too expensive. So nobody is going at anybody's speed here. He's got needs. They got needs. His are not being met. Theirs aren't being met. And this is a microcosm of the whole damn problem in this country. Everybody's right. Nobody's going to give an inch. It's the other guy. And everywhere you go, in every magazine you read, in every newspaper, in every letters section, every comment section, it ain't me, it's him. That's where we're at. We are, man. And then we talk about the government. We say the Congress can't get together. The American people can't get out of their own way. Are you kidding me? So that's the guy with the bomb making. And that's about it, man. I don't have anything else, you know.
You have another story about the police arresting the kids?
Nah, it's all boring, man. Just nothing going on here. So that goes on the floor. And now, what were you guys going to do this weekend, man, about some more of that? We want to get some DDR going for the video?
Yeah, I was going to get a picture of what I was going to do is get some... The picture there of the oil rig to figure that one out.
Well, here's what we were talking about, folks. I guess you got to be able to see on our video cast, and I was doing it in the pre-show. Let me go over to the DDR right now. Now, if you don't have the video cast, you won't be able to see, but you can listen to my description, and I think it'll help you here. Here's what I'm talking about. On one of our video clips that we show on Phil TV, it is a shot from the coast. And when you look out across the water, you see an island. One is Anacapa to the left, the other is Santa Rosa. But more importantly, dead in the middle of the picture, this little tiny speck is an oil rig. Little tiny speck. Okay?
Yeah. That other one, huge.
All right, hold on. Now, this was a piece of video that was shot midday, gorgeous day along the El Pacifico. And as I say, people watching the video cast see what I'm talking about. Now, let's move to dusk about a week ago. And we shot this piece of video from the second floor of our El Pacifico studios. The oil rig in question is huge.
That's weird, man.
Look at it, man. It's huge. It's like it's right off the coast. And this is a piece of video that we shot at least, 300 yards from the sand. We're on the second floor where our studios are located. It's shot across the sand, across the ocean, and right there on the horizon is this oil rig, and it's a monstrosity with all of its lights lit up. You can even see the rig. You can even see the sort of that little, whatever that thing is, cherry picker rig or the drill or something, the bit, you know?
That's weird. What causes that?
Well, there's a lot of things that may cause it. I'm just a novice at these sorts of things, but we all know that when we see a setting sun, we see a huge setting sun, you know? So it has something to do with the light at dusk and the curvature of the earth and so on and so forth. But guys, check it out. The Phil Hendry Show, produced by Jason Rantz, technical direction John Ilkin. Our associate producer is Dan Northcraft, who does a bang-up job. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Visit our website, philhendryshow.com.
Phil Hendry.